Welcome to this deep dive. I want you to picture the quintessential affluent American suburb.
Right, yeah.
You probably know exactly what it looks like, right? You're visualizing the tree-lined streets, the perfectly manicured lawns.
The top-tier public schools.
Exactly. The expensive, sprawling single-family homes. It's the kind of place where everything feels incredibly settled and, you know, safe and secure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I want you to think about this. What happens when that perfectly engineered, highly desirable suburb just, well, simply runs out of room to grow?
It creates a really fascinating pivot point for a municipality.
Right.
Because when a city can no longer just, you know, annex the next farm over, lay down some pipes, and build another massive subdivision to generate new tax revenue.
Like they've been doing for decades.
Exactly. When that stops, the underlying economic engine and honestly the local politics, they have to change entirely. I mean, the math just stops working the way it used to.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that brings us directly to our mission today. We are cracking open a highly detailed, extremely data-packed July 2026 urban, regional, fiscal, educational, and real estate analysis of Germantown, Tennessee.
It is a hefty report, for sure.
It really is. But our goal here, whether you are actively looking to relocate to the Memphis metro area, or maybe you're hunting for real estate investments, or even if you're just, you know, fascinated by the life cycle of modern American cities, our goal is to extract the absolute most crucial insights from this data.
Yeah, there's a lot to dig into here.
So start by setting the scene for us geographically. Where exactly are we looking?
Well, Germantown is located in eastern Shelby County. It essentially sits as this this buffer between the city of Memphis and the sprawling eastward suburbs.
Okay.
It covers about 20 square miles. But the key thing to understand right out of the gate, like, the most important context here is
right.
that this is not a developing exurb on the edge of the wilderness anymore.
It's not the new frontier.
No, not at all. It is a very mature inner to middle ring suburb. It is fully, completely built out.
Which means we really can't understand where this city is going without looking really closely at who actually lives inside those borders right now.
Exactly. You have to look at the demographics.
Right. And the report shows a population of roughly 40,000 people. But I was genuinely shocked by one specific data point here.
The population drop.
Yes. Despite the incredibly high demand to live in this specific zip code, the population has actually dropped by 3.2% since 2020.
It seems completely counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
Because normally, high demand and prestige equal explosive population growth, right? Developers rush in to meet the demand.
Yeah, but the wealth profile here creates a very different dynamic. The median household income in Germantown is nearly $150,000 a year.
Wow.
To put that in perspective for you, that is more than double the Memphis metro average.
Double. That's insane.
Yeah. And nearly 72% of the adults living there have a bachelor's degree or higher. So it is a highly educated, highly affluent enclave.
So if it's so wealthy and so desirable, why are they losing people? Are people just leaving?
No, that's the thing. You have to look at the household aging data. The population decline is not about people fleeing the city.
Okay.
It's actually about household size shrinking in place. The report reveals a highly bifurcated age structure.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, on one end, 26.8% of the population is under 18, which tracks perfectly for a premium family destination.
Yeah. Sure. Lots of kids, great schools.
Right. But on the other end, 24.2% of the population is over 65.
Wow, so it's a huge split.
Exactly.
You know, I was trying to visualize how a highly desirable place actually loses population, and it made me think of an analogy.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so Germantown kind of sounds like a highly exclusive, sold-out country club.
Okay, I try.
The line outside to get a membership is wrapped around the block.
Mm-hmm.
But the total headcount of people actually sitting inside the dining room is shrinking.
Right.
And that's because the current patrons inside are these older couples whose kids have grown up, they've graduated, and they've moved out. So you have two people taking up a massive table, or in this case, a massive single-family home, all by themselves.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
And because there is no vacant land left to expand the club, they aren't building any new tables for the young families waiting outside.
The housing data completely backs up that analogy. The turnover rate in Germantown is stunningly low. I mean, last year, 92.3% of the residents stayed in the exact same house.
Over 92%. That is incredibly stagnant.
It is. When you combine older residents who have, frankly, zero financial incentive to leave, maybe they are locked into a sub 3% mortgage from 2021, or they simply just love their neighborhood.
Right. Why would you leave?
Exactly. You combine that with a complete lack of new housing construction, and the result is that the club stays full, but the total number of people living under those roofs slowly trickles down.
Which creates a fascinating dilemma for the people actually running the town.
Oh, it creates massive, wildly expensive policy implications.
How so?
Well, think about what that bifurcated age structure actually demands from a local government. The city is essentially running two completely different premium municipal service packages at the exact same time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. They have to finance elite, high-performing public schools for that 27% youth demographic.
Which is not cheap.
Not at all. While simultaneously funding heavy emergency medical services, accessibility infrastructure, and senior-oriented resources for a massive aging voting bloc.
Wow. Looks like getting squeezed on both ends.
Precisely.
And if the current residents aren't giving up their tables, that has to put a massive squeeze on the housing market for those families stuck in line outside. Let's dig into what it actually costs to buy into this market, and more importantly, the massive trap waiting for uninformed buyers.
Yeah, the housing stock heavily reflects that older, settled demographic we just talked about. About 87% of the housing is single-unit, detached homes.
So very few apartments or condos?
Barely any. And the owner occupancy rate is nearly 87% as well. So this is absolutely not a market friendly to renters or transient populations.
Got it.
Furthermore, 73% of these homes were built between 1970 and 1999.
And despite being decades old, they are definitely not cheap. I mean, the report pulls recent pricing data showing that Redfin median sale price hovering around $494,700.
Right.
And Realtor.com asking prices are pushing up to $538,000. So I have to push back here, or at least ask the skeptical question that any prospective buyer or investor listening to this is going to ask.
Go for it.
You want me to pay $500,000 minimum for a house built in 1985, a house that, just according to the standard life cycle of building materials, probably needs a new roof, a new HVAC system, and let's be honest, a $50,000 kitchen and primary bath renovation just to bring it up to modern luxury standards.
Oh, at least $50,000.
Right. So from a pure numbers standpoint, isn't that a terrible real estate investment? Like, are buyers just being irrational here?
What's fascinating here is how local real estate markets price in municipal services.
Okay, tell me more.
The buyers aren't acting irrationally at all. You just have to look past the physical structure. Buyers in Germantown are not paying $500,000 for the aging bricks and mortar of a 1980s colonial home.
They aren't.
No, they are paying for a bundled package of premium municipal services, with the public school system acting as the ultimate capitalization mechanism.
Meaning the value of the school is literally baked into the dirt the house sits on.
Precisely. You are buying a golden ticket into the Germantown Municipal School District, or GMSD.
And how good are these schools?
The academic outcomes are elite. The district boasts a 24.2 average ACT score. They offer 71 different college credit courses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Families will gladly endure the headache of renovating a 40-year-old kitchen if it guarantees their children access to that level of public education, because it effectively saves them tens of thousands of dollars a year in private school tuition.
That makes total sense when you put it like that.
Yeah.
But earlier you mentioned a trap for buyers. If I'm shopping for that golden ticket, how do I mess this up?
This is where the municipal history gets incredibly complicated and honestly a little messy.
Oh, well.
Germantown actually has two entirely different public school jurisdictions operating inside the exact same city limits.
Wait, really? Two different districts in one city?
Yes. GMSD, the municipal district with the elite stats we just mentioned, operates Houston High School, along with its own elementary and middle schools. Houston High is the crown jewel municipal high school.
Wait, but I was looking at the map in the report, and there is a massive campus literally called Germantown High School.
And that is the trap. Germantown High School, along with Germantown Middle and Germantown Elementary, are physically located inside the city borders, but they are not operated by the city.
You're kidding.
Nope. They are operated by Memphis Shelby County Schools, or MSCS, which is the massive countywide district.
Hold on. Let me process this.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm an out-of-state buyer, right, I'm scrolling on a real estate app late at night. I see a beautiful house, and the listing proudly says, zoned for Germantown High.
Right.
I am absolutely going to assume I'm getting into the elite municipal school district of the city I am buying in. That is incredibly deceiving.
It catches people constantly. They were locally referred to as the 3G campuses, and they are currently operating under a really complex transition agreement between the city and the county that extends all the way to 2032.
Wow. This is locked in for a while.
Yeah. The long-term plan is for those properties to eventually transfer or be sold, but the reality for a buyer right now is stark. If you are paying a premium to access the GMSD Municipal School Path, your default high school zone needs to be Houston High, not Germantown High.
That is wild.
If you confuse those two in your home search just because of the name, you will radically alter the academic and financial reality of your $500,000 purchase.
That is exactly why you have to read the fine print on those school zones.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if out-of-state buyers and young families are jumping through all these complex jurisdictional hoops, paying top dollar, and taking on heavy renovation projects just to sleep in this city and get their kids into Houston High, you would assume the whole town just empties out at 8 a.m. when the parents commute into Memphis for work,
I
right?
would think so.
But the local economy doesn't look like a sleepy bedroom community at all.
Far from it. The economic base operating during the day is incredibly specialized, and it drives massive daily traffic.
What's driving it?
Healthcare is the undisputed dominant local industry. The single largest employer in the entire city isn't a corporate headquarters. It's a Methodist Le Bonheur Germantown Hospital, employing nearly 1,500 people.
And reading through this list, it's not just the main hospital. You have the West Cancer Center, the Campbell Clinic, Stern Cardiovascular. It is a highly concentrated, massive medical hub.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It's the irony of this specific urban design.
How so?
Well, Germantown was largely planned and built out in the 1970s and 80s as a quiet residential escape,
A
right?
place to get away from the city.
Exactly, a place for affluent professionals to retreat away from the density, the noise, and the traffic of Memphis. But today, because of this massive medical cluster, this quiet residential escape has become a daily destination for sick people, outpatient procedures, and thousands of commuting healthcare
Oh,
workers.
wow. So it completely flips the traditional suburban traffic dynamic on its head.
Entirely. During the morning rush hour, you certainly have residents driving west into Memphis for corporate and professional jobs. The mean commute time for residents is about 22 minutes, and 72% of them are driving alone in their cars.
Pretty standard suburb stuff there.
Right. But simultaneously, you have an army of medical professionals, support staff, and patients driving east into Germantown.
So traffic is heavy in both directions.
Exactly. Add in the fact that a massive 20.8% of the resident workforce now works from home, and the city never actually empties out.
A fifth of the workforce is just staying in their home offices all day.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you view this from the perspective of a specific type of resident, say a high-income medical specialist, this is the ultimate lifestyle setup.
Oh, totally.
You have a 5-minute commute to a top-tier hospital, your children are down the street at Houston High, and you have premium municipal services.
The dream scenario.
But from the perspective of the city government, this medical hub is a double-edged sword.
Why is that?
Because they have no land left to build new property tax-generating subdivisions, right?
Whoa.
So they rely heavily on the daytime commercial activity. They need those commuting doctors, nurses, and patients to buy lunch, shop at local retail, and generate sales tax to fund the schools and the senior services.
Ah, so they need the traffic.
They absolutely depend on it. The heavy, frustrating traffic on major arteries like Poplar Avenue and Wolf River Boulevard is the necessary price of that economic engine.
Which perfectly sets up the biggest tension in this report. Maintaining this high-end residential paradise, funding the elite schools, and servicing this medical ecosystem requires a staggering amount of money.
Staggering.
If you can't just build another neighborhood to raise funds, how does the city pay for its future?
While the fiscal snapshot of Germantown is a real study in contrasts, by traditional metrics, their financial health is incredibly strong. They boast a AAA bond rating.
Which is rare, right?
Very rare. For anyone unfamiliar, a AAA bond rating is essentially the municipal equivalent of having a perfect 850 personal credit score. It means lenders view the city as practically risk-free.
Okay, so that's great.
It is. They also have substantial cash reserves, and their city property tax rate sits at 1.7825 per $100 of assessed value.
So they have great credit and money in the bank. Where's the tension?
The tension comes from the unavoidable costs of municipal maturity.
Meaning things get old.
Exactly. The city carries $61.6 million in primary government debt. They also have legacy pension obligations, which are long-term financial promises made to retired city workers that just eat up a portion of the operating budget every single year.
Right. Those don't go away.
No, they don't. And remember that aging 1980s housing stock we discussed earlier?
Yeah, the ones needing the $50 K kitchen updates.
So the municipal infrastructure buried underground is aging right alongside it. The report explicitly notes the city had 26 water main breaks in fiscal year 2025.
26 water main breaks in 1 year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is a lot of emergency patching for a premium suburb. And we should probably touch on safety here, too, because physical security is a massive part of the premium package these residents are paying $500,000 for.
Oh, absolutely.
The violent crime rate in Germantown is incredibly low. 167.8 per 100,000 residents, which is just a fraction of the Tennessee state average of 592.
Right, very safe in that regard.
But property crime is a completely different story, sitting at 11,176.8 per 100,000.
And that goes right back to the medical and commercial hubs.
The daytime traffic.
Exactly. Larceny, vehicle thefts, smash and grabs. These are attracted to high-end retail corridors and massive hospital parking lots, no matter how affluent the surrounding zip code is.
Makes sense.
But honestly, property crime and aging pipes aren't the real existential threat to the city's identity right now.
What is?
The real war happening on the ground is about redevelopment. Because they need more tax revenue to fix those 26 water main breaks, developers are pitching massive dense projects.
Right. The report details one called The Standard, which is a proposed $400 million mixed-use redevelopment at the western edge of the city, along with another called The West End.
Yes. Massive projects.
You know, I was trying to figure out a way to describe this local political fight over these dense developments, and it feels like, okay, it's like an exclusive country club that desperately needs to raise membership dues to fix a dying golf course.
Okay, I like where this is going.
But the current members are threatening to riot if management lets in a bunch of new, younger members to help pay the bill. I mean, the residents absolutely demand the AAA municipal services, the flawless parks, the great schools.
Of course.
And the city planners know that to pay for all of that, they need the massive tax revenue that these new, dense, mixed-use apartment and retail nodes would generate. But the current homeowners, they absolutely do not want the traffic. They hate the density. And they are terrified of losing their quiet, low-density, tree-lined vibe.
It is the defining smart growth conflict of our time.
It really is.
And to really understand why the resistance is so fierce, we have to look at the historical zoning context impartially. The exclusivity of Germantown isn't an accident of geography.
It's by design.
Very much so. It is the product of very deliberate institutional choices made over decades. The city implemented strict large lot zoning requirements, pushed for a separate municipal school district, and enforced high aesthetic design standards. These policies effectively act as a filter.
They dictate who can and cannot afford to cross the city limits.
They do. Now, on one hand, these policies create incredible market stability. They protect high property values, which generates the high property taxes needed to fund those elite schools.
Which is what the residents want.
Exactly. But inherently, by design, this model excludes lower-income households and severely limits workforce housing.
Right.
So when a developer comes in and proposes a $400 million project featuring apartments, smaller footprint living, and dense commercial space, it clashes violently with the established culture. The existing homeowners want to fiercely protect the scarcity of their neighborhood and their traffic flow.
But the city government looks at the spreadsheet and knows they need the revenue to keep the water running and the schools funded.
Exactly. It is a massive institutional tug of war.
Which makes me think, if you are listening to this and you are a prospective buyer or an investor looking at those high entry costs, the aging 1980s homes, the confusing school zones, and the intense local politics fighting against new housing, You have to be wondering what the alternatives are.
Oh, for sure.
If this specific country club is too expensive or too hostile to new building, where else do you look? Let's walk down the regional suburb shopping aisle. What does the data say about the peers?
Well, the report breaks down several regional alternatives, which is a great way to map your specific priorities. Let's start with Collierville, which is the closest direct substitute.
Okay.
Geographically, it sits further east, meaning if you work in downtown Memphis, you are taking on a longer daily commute.
Right.
However, Collierville still has developable land. You can find newer housing stock, and the median household income is slightly lower, around $138,000. If your priority is brand new construction, a bit more space, and you don't mind driving an extra 10 or 15 minutes, Collierville is the logical target.
Okay, but what if my absolute top priority is getting into a municipal school system, but my budget simply cannot handle a $500,000 mortgage at today's interest rates?
Then you look north to Bartlett.
Bartlett, okay.
Bartlett is the affordable municipal alternative in the region. The median household income there is around $102,000. Because the zoning and historical development patterns are different, they don't have the same concentration of elite medical facilities or high-end retail pushing up land values. The median sale price is much more accessible.
What are we talking?
Sitting right around $313,000.
Oh, it's a huge difference.
Massive. You still secure access to a dedicated municipal school district, but you sacrifice the luxury commercial amenities that Germantown offers.
Got it. The report also mentions Cordova, but it places a massive asterisk next to it.
A crucial distinction for any buyer. Cordova is not an incorporated city.
Wait, really?
No. It is a geographic area with highly fragmented jurisdictions, depending on exactly where you draw the property line, your taxes, your police provider, and your public school zones can vary wildly from one street to the next.
That sounds like a headache.
It offers a lot of affordability, but the burden of due diligence is entirely on the buyer for every single parcel.
And finally, for the listener who isn't constrained by budget, but is chasing massive economic growth, the report steps outside the Memphis area entirely to compare Germantown to Franklin and Brentwood over in the Nashville metro area.
That comparison serves as an important reality check for investors, frankly.
How so?
Franklin and Brentwood are experiencing exponential, explosive growth because they are attached to the booming Nashville economic engine. But that growth comes at a staggering premium.
How much of a premium?
Well, the report uses ACS data, which is the American Community Survey run by the Census Bureau, to show that the median owner value in Brentwood is now well over $1 million.
Over a million. So it's effectively double the cost of Germantown.
At least double.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? How do you synthesize all these regional options and demographic quirks into a coherent strategy?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the investment thesis for Germantown becomes incredibly clear. This is absolutely not a market for a quick flip HGTV style renovation
right,
or high yield short-term rental cash flow.
You aren't getting rich overnight buying a 1985 ranch house with a bad roof here.
No, absolutely not. Germantown is a long-term play. The value here relies entirely on institutional scarcity.
Because the vacant land is essentially gone.
Gone. The public schools are elite and fiercely protected by the residents. And the massive medical cluster provides this recession-resistant employment anchor that guarantees daytime traffic.
So it's a safe bet. Just not a fast one.
Exactly. If you buy here, you are investing in municipal stability, educational reputation, and exclusivity. You are not investing in hypergrowth.
That is a phenomenal summary of the data. Germantown is a highly successful, mature suburb. They are running a very tight ship when it comes to municipal services and school performance.
They really are.
But looking at the numbers, it is a city deeply, deeply dependent on the automobile. And it is staring down a massive demographic and infrastructure transition. I mean, they have built a beautiful exclusive club, but keeping the roof from leaking is getting more expensive every single year.
And figuring out how to balance the anti-density desires of the current residents with the desperate financial needs of the future city that will be the defining political and economic challenge of the next decade.
Which leaves us with one final provocative thought. Something I want you to mull over long after this deep dive ends. We talked at the very beginning about that 24.2% of the population that is over age 65.
Right, the aging demographic.
The seniors currently living in those large, aging, single-family homes with empty bedrooms. Eventually, biology and mobility dictate that that generation is going to need to downsize.
Inevitably.
But because of the intense anti-density politics we just discussed, the city really hasn't built enough walkable, attached, or accessible senior housing.
No, they haven't.
So where do they go? When the patrons of the sold-out club finally need a smaller table, but their own town refused to build any, does the city simply lose its oldest, wealthiest residents to other towns? Or will the politics of zoning finally bend to the reality of aging?
It is the ultimate question for any mature suburb that refuses to change its footprint.
It really is.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We love taking these incredibly dense, data-heavy reports and finding the human stories and the economic realities hidden inside the numbers with you. Until next time, keep questioning the world around you.